WSHU, the station you know, trust, and count on, is more relevant than ever. I'm Ann Carrick. Your support makes it possible for us to deliver what you need, exactly when you need it, wherever you are. With your help, we tell the stories that matter, connecting the facts and uncovering the truths that keep you informed. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut Democrats reach an agreement with the governor on a budget. President Trump hits a roadblock in shutting down congestion pricing. How an effort to revoke the visas of Chinese students could impact schools in our region. Plus the latest from WSHU's Off the Path. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut Democrats say they've reached an agreement with Governor Lamont to pass the state's next two-year budget before their legislative session ends next Wednesday, WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
Connecticut Democratic leaders had floated the idea of passing only the first year of the two-year budget after they couldn't reach an agreement with Lamont on the second year. House Speaker Matt Ritter says that issue has now been resolved.
We made substantial progress to a two-year budget. I would expect we will finalize it today.
He says the second year of the budget is balanced by prepaying some of the state's teacher pension obligations. Republican Minority Leader Vincent Candelora is skeptical of the move.
I'm never pleased when Democrats come together on a budget without Republican input, because when Republicans are not in the room, bad things happen.
Democrats say their two-year budget plan could be ready for a vote in the House by Monday. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
President Trump has hit a roadblock in his effort to shut down the controversial congestion pricing program for drivers entering Lower Manhattan. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
The federal government cannot hold back transportation funding from New York State over the tolling program. That's according to the federal judge presiding over the state's lawsuit to continue charging extra tolls. Governor Kathy Hochul says the ruling is a victory, but the temporary restraining order against the federal government expires June 9th. Supporters say the program is reducing gridlock and generating revenue for much-needed transportation system repairs. But many small business owners and commuters outside New York City say the toll is a financial burden. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The Shinnecock Tribal Nation has bought a piece of land in Hampton Bays after a six-year pursuit. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
The nation closed on the sale of an 8-acre piece of land next to their 80-acre Westwoods territory. The nation filed legal paperwork in 2019 after they found out it was for sale and that the town of Southampton had tried to buy it. Shinnecock attorney Tila Troach says the nation lost access to land back in the late 1890s. They were able to get it back through this sale.
It was really uplifting and powerful to be reconnected with the land, which again, it's just breathtakingly beautiful and pristine condition.
Troach says it's the first time the nation has bought more land with its full property rights intact. She says the nation doesn't currently have any development plans for the new parcel. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Back in 1962, MIT debuted the first widely played video game, and it's the first stop on Davis Dunnevin's travels for Off the Path this season.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
June is the annual celebration of National Rose Month. It's an opportunity to recognize and appreciate the many varieties of roses and to explore their beauty and their symbolism of love and friendship, passion and desire, beauty and elegance. There's music inspired by roses, and you'll hear a concerto performed by a classical musician who's had a variety of rose named after him. It's on Sunday Baroque this week. Sunday morning at 7 on WSHU Public Radio.
The Suffolk County Police Department has officially joined a statewide task force dedicated to fighting ghost cars, according to MTA officials. Ghost cars hide or fake license plates to avoid toll and red light cameras. State officials started the task force in March of last year. President Trump has pardoned former Connecticut Governor John Rowland, who resigned from office back in 2004 amid a corruption scandal. He pleaded guilty to charges related to conspiracy, mail fraud, and tax fraud. He spent 10 months in prison. Then in 2024, Rowland was found guilty of two counts of falsification of records in connection with a congressional campaign. He was sentenced to another 30 months. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is planning to dredge sand at the Matatuck Inlet on Long Island this fall. They say the work will align with shorebird season and take 45 days to complete. A federal mandate requires the waterways to be at least 7 feet deep at low tide. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the Trump administration will aggressively revoke visas for Chinese college students. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more on what that means for schools in our region.
Rubio said in a statement, the purge will include students connected to the Chinese Communist Party and those studying, quote, critical fields, without specifying what those are. He said future student visa applications from China and Hong Kong will face extra scrutiny. About 1,400 Chinese students are enrolled at the University of Connecticut, almost half the school's total international student body. That's similar to Stony Brook University, with just under 1,500 Chinese students. It's not clear yet how soon Rubio will implement the changes, or how many of the Chinese students will be affected. A Stony Brook official said they're closely monitoring the situation. 11 international students there had their visas revoked, then reinstated last month. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
MIT debuted the first widely played video game back in 1962. It was a battle between two spaceships that shoot lasers at each other while dodging a vortex. It was called Space War. WSHU's Davis Donovan explains why the game was so influential for the series Off the Path.
A group of MIT students and former students created Space War on a donated computer called a PDP-1. It was smaller than those gigantic early computers that took up a whole room. Space War co-creator Peter Samson told Silicon Valley's Computer History Museum it was pretty hard to get one.
Considering how few PDP-1s were sold, perhaps 50 of them made, the number of people who saw Space War was high because so many of them went to universities.
The game became a cult hit on college campuses at a moment when sci-fi was front and center in the public consciousness. Here's MIT's Philip Tan.
This is the same time when Star Trek is on TV. You know, we're talking about the 60s. It's in the air. You know, humans are trying to get to orbit and go to the moon.
The game's creators never copyrighted their creation or charged for it. They gave away the code to anyone who asked. But other people saw the potential to make money. One was a guy named Nolan Bushnell, who ran an arcade in Utah. He and his friend Ted Dabney made an arcade game version called Computer Space in 1971.
I forget whether that was before they renamed themselves Atari or after they renamed themselves.
That's right. A Space War clone was the first endeavor for the company that would revolutionize early video games. But nobody wanted to play it.
This game was just too complicated. You needed to know about things like orbital mechanics.
You know, like how to function in zero gravity. So for their second effort, Atari tried a much simpler game, Pong.
I mean, you can play Pong with one hand, which is really good if the other hand has a beer or a cigarette in it. Pong would work in a bar where everyone is slightly drunk and maybe up for a challenge to against strangers. I think you need to be sober to play Space War.
But the ideas in Space War lived on. Remakes kept coming out through the 70s and 80s, including more from Atari. The hit game Asteroids even drew from Space War's outer space physics. Today, MIT students take lots of classes on game design. This class just learned about one of the basics behind any good game, decision making. Student Nicholas Petrosic says making choices has been a cornerstone from the oldest games in human history, like chess, to some of the biggest video games of today.
Nowadays, a lot of games come up with a lot of pre-designated paths that you follow. Like, here are a set of choices I give to the player, but they don't think as much about, like, hey, what if we just leave this physics engine here and we let the players figure out what to do with it?
Like the old-fashioned way of pouring out a box of building blocks on the floor. MIT's Philip Tan says Space War's biggest legacy is the way video games celebrate the beauty of how things move, on Earth or in outer space.
In some cases, we're dealing with physical phenomena and we have to anticipate what will happen based on our knowledge in the real world. And in some cases, it just gives us something pretty for us to look at, you know, like the way how light spreads through a space. And that constantly is improving with some diminishing returns, I think.
In the end, you might not need to improve much beyond two little spaceships floating around in a field of stars. This is Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan.
And this is not the whole story. You can hear the complete, uncut story of Space War by subscribing to Off the Path wherever you get your podcasts, with regular episodes dropping all summer long. And tune in every week to hear about the latest stops along the way on WSHU Public Radio or right here on After All Things. For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. For some behind the scenes here at the station, give us a follow on Instagram. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio, nice and easy. And as always, send any thoughts or story ideas our way via email. It's news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.